And I want you to pray for him as he comes this way tonight to preach whatever the Lord lays on his heart. Brother David Gregory, Pastor Mount Calvary, Missionary Baptist Church. And this is Eastern Kentucky.
So don't hold that too much against me tonight. I was sitting there before church, and I had my head down, and I was kind of looking at the Bible, and I heard Sister Faye start playing the piano, and I thought, I heard somebody play like that earlier today. Looked over, and she's playing the piano, so thankful that Sister Faye is here tonight, and she does a wonderful job playing the piano for us at Mount Calvary. Just blessed to have her, blessed to have those from Mount Calvary here tonight, and I wouldn't single anybody out, but when you stand before a congregation every Sunday morning, and you go to help in a revival, and you look out and you see members of that congregation there, it is a blessing. I know all of you here at Faith, and I love all of you here at Faith. More than you could possibly know. I actually owe quite a bit to Faith Church, and if someday I could ever repay, I would try. But sometimes I've been in places and I didn't know a soul other than my family. But it's good to have people to back you up, and I believe that they're here tonight to do that. My earthly family hasn't been able to be here this week. They regret that. But certain things have come up, revival at my grandparents' home church, my dad having surgery and different things. So they haven't been able to be with us, but I've been blessed to have those from my home church be here to support me, and I'm thankful for that. We've been blessed with visitors all week long, and that is a wonderful thing to go and support other revivals and those that are laboring together. Brothers and sisters, those that have truly been saved by the grace of God, we're all laboring together. There's a lot of people tonight that will say we're all striving for the same thing. There's a lot of people tonight that we are striving for the same thing with. There's a whole lot of people tonight that are not striving for the same thing that I am. That is to see lost people truly saved. It's good to be here tonight. I ask that you pray for us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us for a portion of reading tonight, we'll start our reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Luke chapter 2 in verse 25. And I promise you I'm not going to preach a Christmas message tonight with the Lord's help. But it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a word shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And if I could take for a lesson text tonight, it would be verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And if I could, for just a few moments tonight, give a lesson text or lesson title, it would be, "Behold, mine eyes have seen salvation." And I want you to realize tonight, I don't know the hearts of anyone. Everybody here may be just as saved as I am. I pray that you are. I don't know if there's anybody lost, and I look around tonight and I don't see anybody that I know is lost or that I have heard does not have a testimony of salvation. But I want you to realize tonight, if you're here and you've been saved by the grace of God, you have seen salvation. I want you to realize some of the things that were taking place here. We know that Jesus had just been born. We know that the customary law of the Mosaic law was that on the eighth day, a baby boy had to be circumcised. So he was taken, this baby Jesus, he was taken into the temple here, and this is what was going to take place, the circumcision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon, and he said, "You'll not depart until you see Christ. You'll not go anywhere until you see Christ face to face." Now Brother Ron, the other night, he spoke
about how there was a time period that nothing happened, a great time period where people were wondering about this Messiah that was going to come, this Jesus that had been prophesied about, that had been spoken about, and now that He was soon to come, but yet He hadn't arrived yet.
We sang many songs tonight about Jesus coming, but those are on the latter end of when He comes back. We talk a lot about at Christmas time about a baby boy being born in a manger. I want you to realize tonight we live in a world that does not believe that Jesus has already come. There's a sect of people out there that are still looking for the Messiah to come, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful tonight that salvation has already been brought down to you and I. I'm glad tonight to know that I'm not looking for Him to come to save my soul, but that I'm looking for Him to come back so I can see salvation coming in the clouds. I have seen salvation with the eye of faith. And you know what happens when a person is lost and undone without God? They've got to look to God with faith that He will save them. So through the eye of faith, we must look and we must see God. Tonight, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the very moment that your heart opened up and God came in? You saw salvation.
Amen.
You saw the greatest thing that this world has ever known. It's all about old sin. Says He was just. A good man in His time. Maybe even a great man in His city. And we don't necessarily know all of the reasons that Simeon was allowed to see the baby boy Jesus. I want you to think tonight. Not many people had touched Him or been around Him very much since He'd been born. Hadn't been a whole lot of things going on around Him. You know, today a baby's born and everybody circulates around that baby. But Simeon was allowed to go into this temple. And he was allowed to take a salvation in his arms. And he was allowed to bless God. And he was allowed to look up to the heavens and say, "Mine eyes have seen salvation."
Amen.
As saved children of God, don't you want to see salvation? I don't know about you, but we're living in a time of drought when we're not seeing salvation. I have never seen a church building roof open up and salvation just depart down into someone's soul. But I have seen God work on sin. You know what we need tonight? It's a good dose of conviction for those that are around us so that they will earnestly seek out God for the salvation of their souls. They were looking. Simeon was excited about seeing the Savior. He knew that He wasn't going to depart until He saw it. I'm asking tonight for those that are around us, let us not be willing to depart until we've seen our families, those that attend our churches, those in our workplace, those in our neighborhood. May we work diligently to see salvation for them. I want you to think tonight about looking in to the eyes of the Savior. Simeon got to do something that I have never done. You know, I'm kind of jealous sometimes. Talking about jealousy behind the pulpit and being jealous may get you thrown out some places. But I want you to know tonight, I'm jealous over a few things. I get to reading about Simeon and how he looked right into the face of the Savior. And how he was able to physically be there about the time that he was born. Can you just imagine walking up and picking up this baby and just holding salvation in your arms, knowing that this very thing, this very baby, would be the one thing that would save the entire world, or would come to save the entire world. This baby that you're holding is salvation. You know, we have talked about this week about how those in the Old Testament, they were saved in the exact same way that you and I are. They were looking that the Savior might come, but Simeon was looking right down in the face of the Savior. Oh, I just get a little jealous thinking about it. Because physically, I've never seen Him. These eyes have never looked out and seen Jesus. They've never looked out and had the privilege to sit and learn from His teachings and to be there when He healed people. Never been able to do that physically with my own eyes.
Oh, but they were able to.
The disciples, they were able to see salvation. Every day they were able to look out and see the glories of God.
But I'm convinced tonight that we've still got the same power with us. I preached this morning at Mount Calvary, and I tried for 40 minutes to stand up and preach on the subject titled God. You try to fit God in 40 minutes and you're going to leave a whole bunch out. There's a whole lot that I left out because God is an amazing supreme being that I love. Oh, and guess what He did? He sent salvation. You know, people, I were no doubt being fearful. We've been promised salvation. We've been promised that He would come and He's still not here. What are we going to do? We've got to do something. Oh, but salvation is coming. Little did they know that it would be wrapped in what it was. Today, if we told you that salvation would still come, why, people would expect someone like, I'm going to call his name, Joel Osteen to walk up. Somebody that looked real good. Somebody that would please your eyes for salvation. I didn't come in that package. Salvation came as a little boy, and it saved the world. Oh, can you imagine? The world will look at us tonight and say, you are the foolish, most foolish bunch of people that there has been. Why, how can you believe that you have seen salvation? I told you a little bit about my salvation experience the other night. You know, I was looking for something that night. I was looking for salvation. You know, I expected that physically something might happen. Kind of like Simeon. I wanted to know that I would not depart until I had seen my salvation. And so I was looking with my natural eyes. I didn't see salvation, but I'm so glad. I'm glad that it doesn't happen like that. I'm glad it's a supernatural birth that happens inside of us. Oh, I'm so glad. Even though I've never seen it, I sure have felt it right here. I have felt Him many times. And many times He's passed by and He's allowed my salvation to become more real. Brother Benny said, the devil got a hold of him and said, you just tell that you've been lost. Brother Hines said that he had to stand up and tell about what God had done. He was seeing His salvation too often. We take our salvation. We put it in a box. Wrap that dude up in bubble wrap. Tape it up. Put it in a steel ball and set it on a shelf and say, I've got it, but I'm not doing anything with it. Salvation, you can disagree or you can agree with me. It's a tangible thing. It's something we can work with all of our lives. We can see salvation tonight. Every time a person testifies about what God has done, that's salvation. Every time a sinner kneels before God and God places all that sweet peace into their heart, we can see salvation. We sang a song, we sang it last night. I guess probably one of my most favorite songs. I can tell you it's time. And I can sure take you to the place where the Lord saved my soul. I could load y'all up in the car right now and take you right there. You know what you'd see? You'd see a yellow seat there at Pleasant Hill. You wouldn't see a stake that had been driven up by anybody. It would have a marker on it that said, a stake on July 14th of 2004. But what I could show you was, is where God let me see salvation. Where God imparted grace unto my soul and let me know that I was okay if I died. I told you last night about an appointment that you wouldn't miss. You know what, tonight, if it's over tonight, I'm going to go see salvation. You know, I told you that I've never seen it with physical eyes, and I thought about old Moses over in Exodus. While the Lord told Moses, He said, you go and you get my people from Pharaoh. While you lead them out of bondage, and guess what they said there was? Through all of the plagues that took place, no doubt the children of Israel, they began to get a little worried. Well, are we ever going to get out of here? What are we going to do? The Lord has promised us we're getting out, but yet we're still held captive. Old Moses, who had a stammering tongue,
when he goes before Pharaoh and he says, "You let my people go. You just let my people go. I let them out of bondage. You let them out of captivity." Well, Pharaoh began to think that. He really did. Began to look and ponder. So let's go. Short while after that, he's probably sitting around thinking, "Maybe I shouldn't have done that." So what's Pharaoh do? Get your garment in. He says, "You go get that band of people." And it couldn't have been too hard to spot them. There's a whole bunch of them traveling in a group together. It's not like they were playing hide and seek behind trees. Oh, they were out in the open up for everybody to see. So here goes Pharaoh, taking out a cross there to go get the children of Israel. And I guess maybe the old children of Israel turned around. Begin to think, "Uh-oh. Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes Pharaoh and his army." You remember when you were lost? You kept looking over your shoulder to see how close the devil was. I remember the devil being just as close as he could be. He'd say, "You'll never get saved. You'll never understand all that peace." And you want to know why you'll never experience it? Because God isn't real. I told this to the church at Mount Calvary, and I told it much outside of there. But you know, I doubted that God existed for a short while I was lost. While people around me, they get saved. I mean, the first time they go lost, they get down there and they cry for a little bit and they pop up and say, "God saved their soul." And I thought, you know what? I've grown up in this way, and if He's going to save anybody, He better save me. And it didn't happen that way. So I doubted that He existed for a little while, but I got that all worked out. The old devil got a hold of me and said, you don't understand. This is all an emotional thing. Why, this thing called salvation, why, it's just not real. It's an emotional high that our people get on it, and they go on and they go on and they go on. But I thought, they're so happy, you can't make that up. And I thought, well, I guess you need it. But I think about the children of Israel. They're going along probably at a rapid pace, looking over their shoulder, not knowing what's ahead. Guess what comes up? Red Sea. Well, this looks like it's over. Looks like we've lost the battle. We've got to go back into captivity. And guess what? We have no hope. Just have no hope. Till God comes on, amen. Till God comes on the scene. You know what God does for us? He comes on the scene a lot. Brother Donnie said that he hadn't told it in a year. Until God comes on the scene. Until God lets us know. Until God fills us up. And then old Moses probably looks out the Red Sea and thinks, "Got these people here, and what am I going to do?" And I guess maybe it's hard for me to imagine, but the Bible says it's true, so I'm inclined to believe it. The Red Sea just opens up. Now, I don't know how many of you all have ever been out at a lake and watched the water just recede, and all of a sudden there being dry land you can walk on. But I've been around a lake enough that when they let the water down, at least for a while, there's still some muddy area that you wouldn't want to go walk in. So it wasn't going to be an instantaneous thing unless God did.
Amen.
The only time in the Bible that these miraculous things could have happened was when God was in it.
Amen.
Here they go. Now, I don't know about you all, but when I was lost and I was looking over my shoulder, I was scared dead. I was scared. I knew just exactly where I was going if I died in my condition. I knew I was going to hell. Heard them tell me enough. And preachers would preach hell, and they preached it so hot, it got hold of me like David said. The pain of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble, and I found sorrow. But I guess these children of Israel, I guess I would have been like they were as they were walking over on dry land, looking over on both sides, and seeing the water just being held there for a little while. Brother Ron said tonight that God can just take His hand and pull the devil back. I believe God's hand took, and split that water right in two and held it back up for the children of Israel.
Amen.
You know what God told Moses before that happened, though? He said, "Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord."
Amen.
You know what the hardest thing
for people to do is stand still. You can tell by looking at me and not trying to preach that I couldn't stand still if I wanted to.
But you've got to stand there, and you've got an army behind you and water in front of you. And God says, stand still.
And see the salvation parts, and they go over.
And I guess maybe they looked around as they got over, and I believe just the very second that the last one got over and Pharaoh's army came in, I believe that water just rolled right on over and captured all of that army that was there. And can you just imagine looking back and saying, that's just what God can do.
That's just what my God can do. The moment that God saved my soul, I thought, wow, look what God can do.
I had seen on the salvation of God the things that other people had talked about. I remember hearing about peace. And I was in trouble. I was just like all those children of Israel. I was scared to death until God took care of me. And then guess what? I saw the salvation of an almighty God. Ephesians says this. It says that we have had the earnest inheritance of our salvation. We've been given a portion of it here. But I believe the rest of it, I believe it comes on the other side. I don't believe we'll experience the rest of our salvation. And do not get me wrong tonight. I don't believe you get saved into groups. I believe the moment on that God saves us all, He fills it up to the brim, and that's what you got. I believe that. But I believe we've got an earnest expectation that is awaiting us on the other side. But I've never seen it. Never been there. You know what the Lord told the children of Israel? He told Moses, He said, I've got a promised land for you. A place flowing with milk and honey. A place that you'll never want for anything.
But they've never been there. So they didn't know. We've been told all of our lives, most of you all have, about a place called heaven. And we've never been there. I believe it's a place of perfect peace and perfect rest. You know what happened to Moses? Moses couldn't even go over into the land. There, I believe it was called Canaan. Wasn't even able to go on over. But I'm telling you where Moses is tonight. He's in a place far greater than Canaan. He's in a place called heaven. And I want you to realize tonight, as I thought about old Simeon, looking at the salvation of God. You know, the Bible says over in Hebrews, I believe, it says that God, or Jesus Himself, was brought a little lower than the angels. Brought a little lower than the angels above us of being salvation. You know, as I stand here tonight, I've told you this already. Oh, but I've never seen physically with these eyes the salvation of God coming in the life of the Lord. But you know, someday after a while, we've talked about this a little bit already this week. There's going to be a day when God is going to split the sky. The trump of God is going to sound. And I don't believe there's going to be any of this going to miss it. Sometimes I've been around people, my granddad, he used to drive a tractor trailer through the house and he wouldn't hear it. But I believe the day that the trump of God sounds, everybody's going to know it, even him. And I thought about those that have never seen salvation. And if you wait this long, you'll never get what I've got. But you will see salvation someday. The Bible says that God shall return to gather His people home. I believe that is a thing that the Scriptures teach us all through it, that the Lord is coming back. So earnestly, He warned me. I believe He's coming back someday. And I don't know if I'll be living, but I know this. I told you last night that the bodies of those that are asleep or dead in the grave, while they'll burst right open, those bodies will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, so says Paul to that church at Thessalonica. Says they'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
And I thought about that very moment that we see Jesus coming in clouds. Can you imagine the first moment that we get to lay our eyes upon Jesus? We sing a lot of songs about heaven. And they say that's the first place that we'll see Him. But I believe Jesus Himself will descend from the heavens. And I believe it'll happen with a shout. And I believe we'll see Him in all of His glory. And you want to talk about us seeing salvation. Salvation will be coming back to gather His children home. And you talk about going to heaven and seeing the earnest of our expectation and seeing salvation. We've been saved from an underworld, a place called hell. That's what we're saved from. We're saved from sin. We're saved from the bondage of this world and all that it has. Much like the children of Israel, as they were held in bondage and captivity. Oh, and can you just imagine? They had some rough times getting over Canaan land. Disobeyed God, turned back, made other idols. Oh, but can you just imagine going to the land of milk and honey and seeing the sight and all of the things that are there the first time? God has made a promise to us. He made a promise to these people. And He said, I will send something to die or be a propitiation for your sins. And that promise was kept up from the very moment that Adam sinned. And Simeon was allowed to see the salvation of the Christ. But God has made a promise. Over in John, He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. If that's not a promise, I don't know what is. But I'm looking forward and I'm expecting to see the salvation of my God. I'm looking today, as we go forward, the churches that are here tonight that have gathered, I'm looking forward to seeing salvation being imparted to lost people. We've got to see salvation. Brothers and sisters, if we don't, people will perish every single day and die and go to hell. You know, these scriptures says there at the end, and I want to read them again for you. If you have your Bible still open, and you'd like to go back with us for just a moment. Luke chapter 2, verse 34, we'll start there. And Simeon blessed him being Jesus, and said unto Mary his mother. Mary already knew the promise of the child that she had. She knew it was the Christ child. She knew it would be the one that would have to take the sins of the world upon His shoulders. He said, behold, or look, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. I'm going to close here in just a moment. And I want you to think tonight, this happened over 2,000 years ago. Jesus walked the face of this earth for 33 and a half years. Ran into some Pharisees, some Sadducees, some Jews, and some Gentiles. You know what they did? They rejected God. Just rejected Him. And it says, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. You know, people tonight, they are speaking against salvation. I'm going to claim this, and you can either disagree or agree. We're not going to fall out over either way. I guess maybe I fall in line with some of the older missionary Baptists when I say this, but I like to hear people say that they have been saved. I like to hear people say that they know that they've been saved. In this world that we live in, people say, well, I'm a believer, or I'm okay, or Jesus came into my heart. I'm a person that I'm big on words, and I like to hear people say things. You know, growing up in Missionary Baptist Church, I didn't hear any of those things when I was growing up in church that I did. When somebody got saved, you heard them say, I got saved. I've been redeemed by the one who came to die for my sins. Not that I'm a believer. Brothers and sisters, I am a believer tonight that Jesus Christ came to die for my sins. I believe that. But the world today believes in Jesus with their mind.
But it's got to take more than that.
Man.
The Bible says that with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. You can believe in your mind all that you want to that Jesus is the Son of God. But until it moves from here to here, not moving. I believe Simeon. Well, I don't believe he just believed with his mind that this was Christ. I believe the very moment that he laid eyes on him, he knew that this was the Savior of the world. And you say, preach you never now. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm glad that I am saved. And I'm glad that I have seen the salvation of my God. There's nothing in this world that I enjoy more than the salvation of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Old Simeon got to look into the face of Jesus.
Someday, I'm going to look into the face of my Savior. Old Dalton Thomas, remember him? I'm going to close with this. Over in John, we had a man named Thomas. And he said, I'm not going to believe it's Christ until I can see Him or I can touch Him. And old Thomas, you know what happened to him? Jesus appeared and he said, you just come to me, Thomas. Put your hands in the prints. Put your hand or thrust it into my side and know that I am Christ. He said, I know you believe because you have seen. He said, but blessed are they that believe and have not seen. Never seen it. Never seen Him physically. Oh, but someday I'm going to a place where my Jesus reigns forever at the right hand of my Lord, my God, the Almighty King. I want you to know something tonight. He's coming back. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, that very moment, it's going to be a wonderful time. Those that die in their sins, those that see Jesus coming back and have not been redeemed by God, it's going to be an awful time for them. But I'm glad and I'm looking every moment. I believe there's a song that says, I'm looking every moment for the Lord to come again. Mine eyes have seen the salvation of my Lord. My spiritual eyes have seen the salvation of my Lord. I pray tonight if you're here and lost, that your spiritual eyes will be opened to see the salvation of God. Because as Simeon said, I can depart in peace. I can depart in peace tonight because I've seen that same salvation. We're going to have a song here in just a moment. Brother Donnie, if you'll get us one. I want us to stand together, and like I said, I don't know your hearts. If you're not lost, I beg you to seek God with everything that you've got. Pour your heart out to Him and seek Him until you get saved. And don't you ever give up until you have peace with God. Be saved. Believe with your heart to the saving of your soul. May God bless you, is our prayer. I'm glad tonight to have salvation, aren't you? While we stand together and while we sing.
Listen,
Taylor, before we do that,
I've got a song I'm going to have to sing. We can pause the altar call song or whatever, but I'm going to follow the Lord tonight. You go right ahead. I won't be disrespectful. I have never seen the face of my Savior. But serving Him has been such a thrill. I have never seen the gaze of that city. But one day on the side.
Anything upon your hearts tonight, anything at all, needs to be said to them. Let's stand together and let's have another song. Let's pass around and shake hands one another.
396, I see Jesus. 396. Once a man named Stephen preached about the Lord. Folks were saved, folks were healed, and they heard his word. They did not like it, saying he had his wrath. And then he cried, they heard Stephen cry aloud.
Now 356 about the kingdom. You may ask me where I am. You may ask me where I am. Well, I'm going to my country.
Start. So when I see a show of hands of all the members of faith, close this revival. Opposition by White Sunday. I don't see any opposition. We'll just consider ourselves as the last night of the revival. Brother Gregory, do you have any closing remarks?
I just thank the church for allowing me to come with you all this week. I have truly enjoyed it. I remember the first time I preached here, Brother Matt was sick. He called me on a Saturday night and asked me if I would feel interested. And I actually had an appointment at my home church that same morning, but I called Brother Chuck and I said, I really feel like I need to go down there and preach. Little did I know that that appointment would lead to an appointment at Mount Calvary about a year later that would eventually lead me to be the pastor at Mount Calvary. And so I am forever indebted. How good that you all have been to me. I have every time that I've sat in the closer, I've felt so much love. From love every single one of you. I mean, I get to see some of them in different places at different times. Mr. Lisa comes over and visits with us on Wednesday night, Sunday night, from time to time. And Brother Terry and Terry, really appreciate getting to see them. I'm from the love of the church. And even though we part tonight, I'm just a few miles down the road. I will always love this church. And I will always try to come visit any time that I can, see your food, any time that I'm available. But you all more than you'll ever know, and I appreciate you. And I'm expecting to hear wonderful things happen in your faith. I hope Brother Ron gets to call me, Brother Jimmy gets to call me. And we just have a whole slew of people get saved today. We want you to come see the baptism we're going to have. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Mount Calvary's been blessed, David's been blessed. God bless in Davidson County. Brothers and sisters, we've got a whole lot of territory today. So let's be in prayer one for another. I'll be praying for you all. Always take some of the Bible coming to me. God is so grateful, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. I appreciate
it.
Anything else you
need to
start off with?
The only thing
that is a
new son. Okay. Said that. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. If it was on a Monday, somebody touch me. If it was on a Monday, somebody touch me. If it was on a Monday, somebody touch me. I know it. Sunday.
Asking you any lost individuals that are here, and if they don't know you in attended, you might reach your hand out and put that conviction on their heart that you didn't forget in your voice, that they might realize that you have the answer to all the many questions that they have lingering in their souls. God, they might lean on you and seek you out before it's ever actually too late. We just thank you for every opportunity that you give us to come to your house to worship. We just ask you to be with us in our day-to-day lives, that we might be the best wife for you that we possibly can, that we might be the best example of Jesus that we possibly can for our friends and family and co-workers and whoever surrounds us in our daily lives. God, we just ask you to be with us, help us, lead, guide, and direct us in everything that we do. Forgive us of our sins. God, thank you for calling me to preach. Thank you for the opportunity to give me this stand, but above all, thank you for saving my soul. Command your voice. Be with us as we go our separate ways, that we might be able to return in a later point in time. In Jesus' name, I'll be back for you. Amen.
Amen.
The last time I saw him, he was still bad.